Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Talk about sports.
I like it.
Sweet. Thanks, buddy.
The weekends in the ATL are busy, and there's always plenty of sports to talk about.
Radio on the weekends.
And that's what we're going to do.
Hell yes, we are.
This is the ATL Show, keeping you up to date on all the sports in Atlanta and beyond.
Sports don't stop, even on the weekends. The ATL Show with Abe Gordon is on.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now, here's Abe.
What's going on, Atlanta? It is the Abe TL Show, live, not from the Kia Studios today, Mercedes-Benz Stadium, here for Atlanta United's final home game of the regular season. Of course, maybe if they find a way to sneak into that 8-9 game, there could potentially, if they advance out of that, be a home game down the road in the postseason, but we'll get to that a little bit later when we get to the Five Stripes Countdown in just under 25 minutes. We've got a lot of football to talk about and a little bit less time than I thought I would have to talk about it. So let's dive right into it. Real quick on the college football scene. Alabama right now. Some interesting score lines in Nashville at halftime. Alabama trails Vanderbilt. Let me repeat that again. Alabama trails Vanderbilt at home for Vandy by 9 points, 23-14, Vanderbilt in the lead. Now, Alabama will get the ball out of half, so this one could be a tight game pretty quickly, potentially, but keeping an eye on that one. We're also certainly keeping an eye on what's going on in Athens, Georgia, Sanford Stadium. The Bulldogs, near the end of the third quarter, have a 21-10 lead over the Auburn Tigers. It got dicey for a little bit, but Georgia just scored not too long ago to bubble the lead back out to double digits. So we'll see if they can hold on to that and carry it through the fourth quarter. We had one top 10 team already go down today. That is Missouri, who took a pretty tough beating out there at Texas A&M. Texas A&M ranked number 25, took it to them. And it was interesting early for Missouri, but they had a couple of officiating calls go against them. I think it got in their heads, and Texas A&M must have gotten their heads too, because they ran absolutely away with that game. They welcomed Connor Wegman back at quarterback, and he was very, very accurate today. Looking through a couple of other games, if anything pops out, we'll certainly let you know about it. But I want to talk not about the college game right now. I want to talk about what's going on actually in this stadium that I'm standing in right now, Mercedes-Benz Stadium, but what we saw on Thursday night football, and we had talked about it throughout the week, all week long, and it was just such an important game for the Atlanta Falcons. I mean, you're talking about a massive in-division game coming right off the heels of taking care of the Saints in a very tight, very stressful game. And now you get to Thursday night, and somehow they ramped up the stress level a little bit more. But the Falcons, in overtime, take out the Buccaneers. And it was a game that had first place on the line for the Falcons. Kirk Cousins with a franchise record, 509 yards in the overtime win. Of course, Kadarrell Hodge runs away from about five or six Buccaneer defenders to win that thing in the first possession of overtime. Drake London. I talked about it all offseason. If Drake London's going to be a number one, a legit top wide receiver in the NFL, it's not going to look the way that Tyreek Hill does. It's not going to look the way that Justin Jefferson or Ja'Marr Chase does. It's not even going to look the way that Mike Evans does. It's going to look the way it did on Thursday night. I said if he's going to be a legit number one, he's going to have multiple games with double-digit catches for a buck 20, a buck 30, a buck 40, and that's what he did. He goes 12 catches, 154 yards. He also walks into the end zone through some contact for a touchdown. And you've also got Darnell Mooney getting it done. 9 catches, a buck 05, 2 touchdowns. And you can see why Kirk Cousins, if you want to say cheated, say cheated. If you want to say tampered. I don't really care. But Darnell Mooney's here. He's here partially because Kirk Cousins wanted him here, and I think you see why. There is a trust level right now between Darnell Mooney and Kirk Cousins that even Cousins haven't got yet with Pitts or with London, with Hodge, with Bijan, with anyone. He just feels comfortable. Darnell Mooney has turned into a go-to receiver for Kirk Cousins. And look, we kind of hoped that was the best case scenario when he came over from Chicago. We made all the excuses in the world for Darnell Mooney. This is how much separation he creates, and this is how open he gets, and this is the percentage of poorly thrown balls his way, courtesy of Justin Fields being inaccurate, and he's better than his numbers, and this and that. We're trying to talk ourselves into it, and turns out we were pretty much on the right path in regard to Darnell Mooney and just how good he could be. He's been outstanding as a number two, and realistically, he's kind of been the number one. At least Drake London was in this game. But Darnell Mooney went up top, caught a touchdown, and caught another one earlier in the game as well. And that brings us to Kyle Pitts. Kyle Pitts comes off of a game against the Saints where he goes 0 for 0 with zero. And what I'm talking about is 0 catches for 0 yards with 0 touchdowns. 4 days later, same building, same quarterback, same play caller. I guess you throw Caleb McGarry in there. It's a slightly different offensive line. I'm not really sure Caleb McGarry is the reason Kyle Pitts went nuts. But 7 catches, 88 yards. You saw the ability. You saw the reasons that there's still belief that Kyle Pitts can be a top-tier tight end in this league. And we need to see more of that. There's no doubt about it. The interesting thing for me, and I can't stress enough how important this game was, and now you've got 10 days or had 10 days. You're working your way towards week 6, and you're going to be playing. Of course, it's on the road. You don't get 3 straight home games, but you're going to be on the road to face the Carolina Panthers. So a 3rd straight game in the NFC South Division. You could be 3-0 in the division by the end of next weekend. And I don't need to tell you how many teams that have a winning record in their division win their division. I mean, if you can stay in 3-0, potentially go 4-2 or even 5-1 in the division, maybe, obviously, if you're still undefeated, 6-0 is on the table. But if you can stand in your division at 3-0 with the potential to rack up a couple road wins in the division, you're going to win the NFC South. And so that is why the last 2 weeks of games, home against the Saints, home against the Bucs, were so important. And boy, you thought it was a problem here. I mean, have you guys seen what the talk is in Tampa? They got their coach trying to get fired right now. And that's how much this loss meant to Tampa. And they're blaming him for this, blaming him for that. I don't think there's much he could have done in this one. But Todd Bowles apparently on the hot seat in Tampa after this loss. Very interesting, because not all was pretty. Not all was pleasant for the Atlanta Falcons. And when we return here on the ATL show, I want to go into different aspects of this game and kind of answer a couple questions I had, a couple questions maybe that you had. We'll also update you on what's going on in the world of college football. We'll take a look back in on Auburn, Georgia, and Vanderbilt. Like I said, they're holding a lead at home against Alabama. This game should be coming out of half relatively soon, and it's pretty important for Alabama to, I can't believe I'm saying this, they kind of need a statement drive against Vandy coming out of halftime. They do not want to give the ball back to Vanderbilt without making this a one possession game. So we'll keep an eye on what's going on in the SEC, and maybe we'll talk about what could go on in the ACC later tonight as well. A couple good ones in the SEC tonight too. So still a lot of football to be talking about. And that leads you to the Five Stripes Countdown coming up here live at Mercedes-Benz Stadium at 6:30. But when we come back, a couple questions about the Atlanta Falcons that remain from Thursday night's win. It is Abe Gordon live in the Mercedes-Benz Stadium. I get into a rhythm of saying in the Kia Studios. I had to change it up for this one. Live at Mercedes-Benz Stadium on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
The weekend sports talk rolls on.
It's the ATL show.
Yeah.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back into the ATL show. Live at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. I got my phone rocking the Vandy game, believe it or not. And we're still keeping an eye on this one, especially because Georgia just scored another touchdown. It is 28-10, and I think they already kicked the PAT. So 28-10 there at Georgia as they hold now a 3-possession lead over Auburn. But Vanderbilt at home still holding a two-possession, nine-point lead against Alabama. And Alabama had the ball after halftime. And like I said, they could use a statement drive, believe it or not, here. And they are working their way down the field. So keeping an eye on those two SEC games. We certainly got some interesting ones in the ACC, the SEC. A Big Ten matchup, the national title rematch between Michigan and Washington coming up later tonight as well. I'm here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, and in, 8 minutes, we've got the Five Stripes countdown. Myself and Matty Cruz, the soccer down here, going to get you set up for Atlanta United's regular season home finale. So we'll talk about that when the time is right. But I'm still jazzed up about the Atlanta Falcons, and it kind of goes a little bit of both ways because, look, it was a huge game. I don't think you can understate how big of a win this was. I guess you could go too far and be like, they won the South because of this. Like, no, they still got to play out the rest, and they're going to have to do a return trip and all that. So, like, you know, don't go crazy with it. But this was a key win. And this was a win you really had to have to give yourself a chance to win the NFC South. I think if Tampa comes in here and takes this one, potentially with 10 days off and then taking one from the Saints coming up, I think you put yourself in bad shape. But I do want to say this. Not all was good for the Atlanta Falcons. The result, absolutely, no doubt about it. The result was good. But look, in game, there were tons of reasons the Falcons probably should have lost this game, and yet they didn't. I mean, there were way too many offensive penalties. I mean, how often do we have a first and 20, especially in Bucs territory? It happened once in the red zone, happened a couple other times. Tackling, stopping the run, kickoff coverage was all a mess in the first half. It allowed a big half for Baker Mayfield, but that changed at halftime, and the Falcons limited the Bucs to 6 points only in the second half. Now, there was a debate at halftime, and I kind of put the question out there, and I got a mixed bag of results. I thought the Falcons should have attempted a field goal before halftime instead of punting. I understand the concern and the reasons why maybe they didn't. I had 246 votes on a poll. 67.5% said try the field goal. 32.5% said punting was the right call. Now, I'm confident in Younghoe Koo. I know he had missed back-to-back attempts at a field goal earlier. I know there was a block later. But distance isn't the issue in this one. And for me, at the time, and look, it's all null and void because you won. But at the time, knowing the Bucs were going to get the ball out of halftime, now you got to stop, and that made up for it. But at the time, knowing the Bucs were going to get the ball out of halftime, I would have liked points. And so I would have tried the field goal. I know that a lot of other people were thinking to themselves, if you miss the field goal, the Bucs have timeouts. The Bucs are near midfield. They would have possibly been able to add a field goal of their own. I understand that. Playing cautious. I was going to be aggressive there. But ultimately, it did not matter. I was asked a question when I was at Top Golf Alpharetta, the brand new and renovated Top Golf there, with some beautiful screens and the new Shore Thing Club. Let me hit the back net a couple times. I was proud of that. And then Bunker just showed up and just started rocking the back net anytime he wanted. That was not fun to watch. But I had a listener come up and say, hey, do you get the feeling that this Falcons team is clutch? And I had to think about the answer for a second. And it's going to nitpick here. Like, I'm going to nitpick, just to be fair. But my answer to him was, I do think this Falcons team is clutch offensively. But I don't know if I'm sold that they are clutch on defense. Now, you had that strip of Bucky Irving, right, in the moment. That was clutch. Jesse Bates. But I'm not ready to call the defense clutch just yet, because all of these end-of-game scenarios the Falcons have had through these first five games have been, you know, with the team tied, trailing, and the Falcons driving for the win. I'll switch to the defense's clutch when they have a lead and they need to stop. That's what I'm waiting for. We've seen the inverse. When you give Kirk Cousins the ball with a little bit of time, you got a hope and a prayer, and they've won this thing a couple of times, and for whatever argument you want, had one stolen from them against Kansas City that they potentially could have won. And so I do think they are offensively clutch, but I'm not yet ready to go there on defense. That being said, I don't want to undersell the defense's ability in moments, right? They've been very good after the Falcons have turned the ball over, forcing field goals, forcing punts, getting a turnover of their own. They were key, very key, in getting that strip sack of Bucky Irving as well. You had to get the ball back there. Game might be over, and so you got that. And then it was predictable, right? At the end of the game, the Bucks three plays. You use your three timeouts. You knew they were going to run. I guess one of them was a safe pass. It was predictable. But you did make the plays, you did make the tackles, and you got the ball back. It gets sent to overtime. I also think Younghoe Koo is clutch, to answer that part of the question. Like, I don't have concerns about Younghoe Koo. I know he missed the short field goals. I know he had a field goal blocked, which certainly was not his fault. A guy comes in. It wasn't a low trajectory. There's no trajectory in the world that would have gotten that thing not blocked. And the guy came right off the end, and he was there. And so it got blocked. That's not on him. But, look, he drilled – a big kick to send it to overtime a week after drilling a new career-long to win the game for the Atlanta Falcons. So I do think the Falcons are clutch on offense. I do think they are clutch on special teams. And, you know, I won't call them not clutch on defense. I don't think they're the inverse of that. I just haven't seen it yet. They haven't been in that situation. And it's probably a good thing. Like, I feel good even trailing with the ball in the hands of the offense. Real quick update. We got about 90 seconds, a little bit less than that. Alabama did score a touchdown on their opening drive out of halftime. I said they needed a statement there. They have produced one. Georgia, like I said, three-possession lead now at home against Auburn. Auburn's going to try and cut into that a little bit. We'll see if they can. Ole Miss on the road at South Carolina. I was interested to see if Ole Miss can rebound. They certainly have 27-3 lead in this one. Couple of games we're watching tonight. Arkansas hosting Tennessee. That could be a good one in the SEC. We talked about Michigan at Washington in the Big Ten. Clemson at Florida State and Duke right here. Not too far from Mercedes-Benz Stadium. They are at Georgia Tech. So we've got that one as well. Busy night downtown, by the way, because Bad Blood, WWE's Bad Blood is at, I guess, State Farm Arena. You got the Atlanta United match here. And DreamHack. We got DreamHack going on as well. All right, that's going to do it for a very short version of the Abe TL Show. When we come back in about 15 seconds, it's time to get talking soccer. The Five Stripes Countdown coming up next right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.